Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Work.
Scumbags!
Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. Level 3, this is Sports Rage. The big year. Cone will step up and in. All right, still a few things we didn't get to here. I wanted to get to Lasergate. We'll get to that a little bit later on. All right. The Leaf fans are crying because one of their players got touched, and they want a suspension because they're nut jobs. All right, just go to Tim Hortons and, chill out. All right. Nobody cares. Chill out. You're going to lose anyways in the first round. Leafs are going down. And another thing, go with Colorado Avalanche. I saw something. Oh, Colorado Avalanche, one of the quickest teams to get to 100 points. Yeah, who cares? They give you a point for showing up. They give you a participation point in the NHL now. Win something. And even though I did have money on the Bruins tonight, I am enjoying seeing these Bruin fans panic. See, I don't like anybody. Leaf fans are annoying. Bruin fans are annoying. Everybody. All right, we talked about the Lakers allowed 82 points in the first half, but I want to get to the NBA standing. So, as far as the playoffs are concerned, because it is getting interesting right now. And the Eastern Conference is whacked. All right, the Eastern Conference is whacked. To be honest, we talked about this last night with Keith Smith. There's no really, it's not necessarily better to be a higher seed. That's what I'm getting at here. It all depends on who you play, right? It's one of those sort of, you know what I mean? It's moving every night. There's a half game separates Miami-Milwaukee, a half game separates Milwaukee and Boston, and a half game separates Boston and Philadelphia. So 1-4, anything can happen, before the season's done here. I think Milwaukee are going to dial it up a notch and end up as the one seed. I think Milwaukee care enough that they'll, you know what I mean, it's their time of the year now. I think they'll dial it up a notch. So I'm just saying, this stuff changes. But if the playoffs started today, all right, 1-6, Miami, Milwaukee, Boston, Philadelphia, Chicago, Toronto. Then we've got the play-in tournament. 7, 8, 9, 10. If you're unaware of the play-in tournament and how it works, there's only once last year, I don't hold it against you. It's confusing at first, but it is and it isn't. It's like, what? They're playing here and why? What? And it's like one of those deals. But then after, you're like, hey, it makes sense. So what they do is 7 plays 8 and 9 plays 10. So right away you'd think, well, why wouldn't 7 play 10? You know what I mean? But no. So 7 plays, the 7 plays team plays the 8 plays team. One game, winner is in the playoff. All right, winner is in the playoff. And then the 9 and 10 play, and the winner of that game then plays the loser of the 7-8 game to get in. You hear what I'm saying? So the winner of the first game becomes the 7 seed, and it's kind of fair. So if you're a 7 or 8 and you lose that one game, you're not getting screwed over by a 10th place team. You get to play them. Remember, Memphis pulled that off. So, just for the record, play-in teams have pulled it off, right? The play-in tournament is interesting because you have the Brooklyn Nets in that thing. Shout out to our AM radio affiliates. Let's do this thing. I'm on your 1090 up and down the coast, a 50,000 watt juggernaut, the loudest station in the nation. I am Renzi. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates, Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. The Big E, Eric Cohn will join us, who was a partner in crime in the old days. We were on channel 186, and I think we were on channel 98. Yeah, 186 and then 98 with the Big E, Eric Cohn, over the years. So Cohen now doing a great job with TSN, TSN Edge. He'll step up and then we'll talk some hockey with Cohen. We'll talk some Major League Baseball futures with the Big E, Eric Cohn. All right, as far as the NBA is concerned right now, it's an ever-evolving picture, but as it is right now, Miami are the top seed in Eastern Conference. Milwaukee are in second place. Boston are in third place. Philadelphia, 4. Chicago, 5. Toronto, 6. Play-in. Play-in would be, if it started like now, the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Brooklyn Nets would go head-to-head. The game would be in Cleveland, and the winner would be the seventh seed in the playoffs. The loser would play the winner of Charlotte and Atlanta. So, in other words, listen, I besides Brooklyn in the play and stuff, I don't think Cleveland could beat anybody in the East. I don't think Charlotte could beat anybody in the East, and I don't think Atlanta could beat anybody in the East. I think Brooklyn, though, can. I think Toronto can. I think Chicago, no. Philadelphia, sort of. Boston, Milwaukee, Miami. What I'm getting at is all these teams can beat each other. I don't think any of these teams can beat Milwaukee. So it basically, like, put it this way. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're, would you rather be the 5 or the 6 seed? If you're the 6 seed, you play the Boston Celtics. If you're the 5 seed, you play the Milwaukee Bucks. You see what I'm saying? As far as like getting being the higher seed isn't necessarily a good thing. Speaking of seeds right now, the Lakers are officially suddenly not in the play-in, which I think Laker fan probably actually want at this point. But they're not in the play-in right now. They're actually tied, but San Antonio is the tiebreaker. So San Antonio are now in 10th place. They would play the Pelicans in 9th place. The Minnesota Timberwolves play the Clippers. I think people want to see the Clippers and Lakers in the play-in. Just for the train wreck part of it. Clippers would beat them, too. This is Sports Rage. Bet your rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Come.
The Late Night Anchor Match Book Class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi, Sirius XM Channel 159. I'm on your 1090 ESPN Radio. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. Let's do this thing. Let's get the edge, the winning edge, TSN Edge. The Big E, Eric Cohen, steps up and in TSN Edge. Of course, a former colleague of ours right here on Sirius XM Channel 98 at the time. Channel 98. I'm not sure what's on. 98 right now. We're 159 now, baby. 159. The Big E, Eric Cohn. What's up, Cohen?
Not much. How are you, Gabe? Man, oh man, this is doesn't get much busier than this in the sports world. NHL coming to the playoffs, NBA playoffs coming up, Final Four this weekend, baseball's on its way, NFL draft, the Masters. Like, man, oh man, it's a busy time.
It's awesome. The only other great time is when the NFL and college football season start. You notice with the pandemic, though, everything just sort of merged together into one. But you're right. It's a great, great time of the year right now. And the NBA playoffs are around the corner. And the NHL playoffs right now, the battle continues for the teams trying to get in. And some teams kind of know they're in and kind of know who they're playing. And the Toronto Maple Leafs are one of these teams. So I get it. It's difficult to show up on a nightly basis. But I thought tonight was a statement game.
coming into this game. I personally thought the Boston Bruins were going to win this game tonight, Cohen. You know, when push comes to shove type of game, I thought, you know what, and Boston have been red hot, as you know. Yeah. So you follow the Leafs on a nightly basis. Yeah. I'll put it this way. Even our boy, the raging redhead Cam Stewart, liked the Bruins, and it was eating them alive watching Toronto score goal after goal after goal. Who did you like before the game tonight, and how impressed were you with the Leafs? Never mind the late goals that made it seem closer than it was.
Right. I didn't bet the game. And the reason I didn't bet the game was because I did think that Boston was probably going to win. I know a lot of my colleagues, you know, when we talk to them on meetings, a lot of our hockey guys, they love the Bruins. I didn't see a lot of Leafs love. And it's funny because generally when you play the Leafs, you got to lay like 200, 300, 400 when they play crap teams. You don't often get the Leafs at plus 125, plus 130. But the Bruins, as you mentioned, I mean, they've won 14 of their last 17 games. They've lost one of their last 10 at home. They've been so good, so hot. Swayman's been incredible. The best goals against average in the last 3 months. You know, they finally were healthy with Pasternak and Marchand and Bergeron all there. So, yeah, it lined up well for the Bruins, and the Leafs really stuck it to them. Good for the Leafs. It was a statement win. The Leafs, as you know, they have a tendency to play up to their competition. They did it against Florida on Sunday. They did it against Carolina earlier, now against Boston. So the Leafs find a way to play really well against these elite teams. But yet when they play mediocre teams like, you know, Montreal Saturday nights, I mean, the Leafs had a bunch of shots on goal. Jake Allen probably stole that game. But, you know, they've lost to Arizona a couple times. You know, they were life and death to beat Seattle at home. So they've been crap against some pretty bottom-feeding teams. So good to see the Leafs pick up their game, play really well. And you know what? The Bruins tried to push them around. That's the way, obviously, a good team's going to try and beat the Leafs. The Bruins feel like they've got that physical edge against Toronto, which they do. But they're you know, they can be a stupid team. Like, Brad Marchand is one of the most talented players in the league. But why is he chirping after the second period the way he is, costing himself a 10-minute misconduct? Like, it's just being an idiot. And, you know, it really cost the Bruins, because they did score three later goals. Who knows what would have happened had Marchand not taken a dumb 10-minute misconduct penalty at the end of the second period.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're bang on there, Cohen, and you look over the years, the Montreal Canadiens have had success with the Boston Bruins in the playoffs, right? And why? Kind of what you just said. Like, it's like, you know, the Bruins are idiots. Like, the Bruins are better than the Canadiens are, but the Canadiens will get under the Bruins' skin, and then the Bruins get more obsessed with trying to murder and just kill the Canadian players, even in the playoffs. And Boston are so good. They, you know, they want to play with an aggressive edge, but you can take them out of their element. I think it's kind of smart, but, you know, the Leafs have been sort of locked in. So it's sort of like, all right, you pass Tampa, good for you. You still play Tampa. So let me ask you, would it actually be better if they were a wild card? Like, you're the Leaf, you know what I mean? If you're the Leafs, would you rather play the Florida Panthers or the Tampa Bay Lightning? I guess that's the question.
You know what? I think you'd rather play Florida, because the biggest difference is the goaltending. I mean, you saw it tonight, Bobrovsky.
The biggest difference is one team's the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions, and the other one isn't. Yeah.
Well, one team's got Andrei Vasilevsky, and that team's the two-time defending champions, and the other team has Sergei Bobrovsky, who tonight, when the Panthers were up 4-1, and the Canadiens gave up three goals before you had time to finish your beer. The guy, you know, he's no proven track record at all in the playoffs. Last year, he was pulled. They were having to play Spencer Knight in the playoffs because Bobrovsky couldn't get the job done. And he played really well early in the year, but he has just fallen on hard times.
I don't trust the Panthers in the playoffs because they don't play good enough defense, and you can't win just high-scoring games. Like, their games are always like 5-4 every night, 6-4, 5-4, 6-3. You can't win like that in the playoffs.
Florida's got three lines that can score. They've got so much offensive talent. I mean, you know, Barkov, Huberdeau, and then, you know, Reinhardt, and so many guys, and they acquired Giroux at the deadline. They literally, like, they're probably the most balanced three-line team offensively. But, no, you cannot win like that in the playoffs without getting good goaltending, without having a good defensive core. Obviously, I worry about the exact same thing from a Maple Leaf perspective, right? Because they don't have those things right now either. So I guess the Leafs and Panthers have the same issue, right? So much offensive firepower, but can you trust their core six. The Leafs lost two defensemen tonight. Hopefully nothing serious for Labushkin or Hall. But, you know.
Well, I hope Labushkin's okay after he was assaulted in the fashion that he was. He might be out for a long time. Listen, I don't want to make light of it, but. Yeah, I don't want to make light of it in case he really is hurt or something, right. But, you know, listen, that's how the Bertuzzi stuff happened. Because right. I don't think Bertuzzi was kind of a freak thing. He punched him in the side of the head, but this wasn't even a punch.
Yeah.
This was just sort of a, hey, you know what I mean? And swung, and like, he got grazed. He goes down. Oh, he's out for the rest of the game. I see Leaf Nation on Twitter flipping out. Oh, he's got to be suspended. He shouldn't be suspended. Suspended? Like, you know what I mean? Like, all right, 2 minutes for roughing. And even then, I would have been like, yeah, whatever. I mean, I probably would have called anything. Not to mention, Hall did get smoked right before, right?
Well, yeah, Labushkin's hit on Hall wasn't, I didn't think it was.
That wasn't legal.
No,
it should have been a penalty.
There was a reason why Taylor Hall was pissed off, right?
Because I hate if somebody gets hit legally and everyone gets mad and they want to fight, right? Yeah. I hate that. But you're right. Like, Hall had a reason to be pissed. He got, like, ran into the boards.
He did.
And he gets up, and he's like, hey. Like, that was nothing. Yeah, you know I mean? I don't think the league, nothing's going to happen with the league. It's just, I got to tell you, the Leaf fans, man, they're insane. Oh, this is an outrage. I saw Tim and friends, had a Twitter up. Oh, shit, how long is such a suspension be? Suspension? Like, 2 minutes for roughing. You saw my tweet. I'm like, 2 minutes for roughing. All right?
Yeah, I mean, it was like the Chara hit on who was the player that he did with? It was a Pacioretty when he turnbuckled him in Montreal, and I think Canadians fans wanted Chara like in jail with the key thrown away to never get out.
That was someone on Montreal though. Someone ran someone into the post near the bench? If you remember, Chara. Was that the one? Yeah, you know what, though? I'm thinking of another one when Chara actually, like, killed Patrice Brisebois. I'm kidding, because he did a lot of damage over the years. So,
yeah.
It was another one. Yeah, so it was Chara that, yeah, he smoked Pacioretty, you're right. That went into the board, right? Into the bar by the board. But years earlier, it might have been Kovalev, the Russian dude.
Right.
Chara, like, murdered somebody, man. Like, and the Canadians didn't do anything about it after. I think Brisebois.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
I was the only one that tried, but what are you going to do? Chara was a mountain of a man, a tower. All right, more with the Big Erico. Let's get into some Major League Baseball futures. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Grid. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Arezzi. Let's do this thing on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159, the Money or 1090, ESPN Radio. Shout out to our radio affiliates. So, Cohen's a Buffalo Bill fan and a Toronto Maple Leaf fan, which leads to a lot of mystery. Like, I'm a Bills fan, and just that alone is, like, enough to be an alcoholic.
I know you're thrilled that the taxpayers are paying for that new stadium, huh?
Yeah, well, it's not me, so I don't know. Good for them. I'm just thinking, like, you know, the Pagula's got $6 billion. They said, yeah, but it'll be built for Buffalo. I'm like, yeah, I hope so. Like, yeah, was it built for Detroit? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, my whole deal is like Orchard Park again. Like, really, is that really the best spot for it? But it's so political there, right? And there's just, it's such an insider type of insider deal. But so I was going to say, the Bills, whatever. There's nothing about misery with the Bills. The Bills are favorites. And now the Leafs aren't favorites, and you know it's not going to end well for your Leafs. You know down deep inside it's not going to end well. Or do you? Is this the year?
I mentioned earlier, I believe they're flawed. So, you know, generally flawed teams don't win the Stanley Cup. So I hope so, but
I'm going to soften the blow for you. It's not happening.
Right.
Like, I'm telling you, it's not happening. I hope if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I'm not like, oh, I don't not want to. Listen, I didn't think the Bills were winning, right? Even when they lost to the Chiefs, I was like, yeah, whatever. They weren't going to
win. See, I thought the Bills were winning. That's the difference. I did believe Buffalo was good enough to win the Super Bowl. I thought they were the best team in
the world. This is the year. But you know what sucks? This is the year. Now everybody else got really good and
right.
better. That's why these windows aren't open forever.
That's right.
So the Bills are actually Super Bowl favorites despite everything that's gone on. But I wanted to ask you, the Toronto Blue Jays now. So
yeah.
You look at the Blue Jays, man, they're trendy. Like, their win total's even gone up. It was 91.5. It's 92.5. People are betting the overs. A lot of mainstream media outlets everywhere believe the Blue Jays are the team to beat in this division. And so do I. So do I. I think this is the Blue Jays' year. I don't believe it's the Leafs' year, but I do believe the Toronto Blue Jays will win that division. And I think they can win the American League and go to the World Series.
Yeah, I think what sets the Blue Jays apart from the rest of the division. I mean, listen, the other teams of the division, Boston, Tampa, New York, they can all score runs. Even Baltimore can score runs. The difference is the Blue Jays are the only team that has a 1-5 solid rotation. If Berríos, if Manoah, if Gausman, if Ryu, and if Kikuchi all pitch to their abilities, Ryu's going to bounce back. He didn't pitch well last year. But if those five guys pitch the way they've pitched,
solid five.
All five, then you know, there's not another team that can really that has a comparable rotation in the American League East. You look outside of the American League, you know, the Mets got a really good rotation over in the National League, but there's no other AL East team that's got that. I mean, you know,
how do you combine the bats that they have? But let me ask you, because the thing is that I'm high on the Jays, but 92.5 is a lot of wins, right? You need a clean ride. It's a lot of wins. The division is competitive. I think the Jays can win a division, but whatever. The Yankees are good. You know what I mean? The Red Sox are good. We know the Rays. I don't know how the Rays do it every year, but the Rays are good. And Baltimore blow, all right?
Yeah.
So we know that. But I'm just saying, I personally think, and I played some win totals, but I personally think it's a better bet to play the Jays at the plus money, Cohen, to win the division than to play the win total.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I did both weeks ago. Much better numbers weeks ago. I got the Jays at plus 250 to win the division before the Chapman trade. I got the Jays over 91 wins. As you mentioned, it's 92.
Yeah.
The World Series odds as well have plummeted. So
you're all in. You took them division, win total, World Series, everything.
I believe this is their year because I thought last year they were the best team in the division, and they had a lot of bad luck. I mean, their run differential last year was insane. It was like over 100 runs better than the Red Sox and Yankees, who both made the playoffs. The Mariners had a minus, like, 50. The Jays had a plus 220 better than the Mariners, and they won one more game than Seattle. It just tells you the Jays were really unlucky last year. You know, they obviously, playing in three locations.
Yeah, not to mention they didn't have home field until August.
They had no home. And even when they had home field, they could only put 15,000 people in there until September.
They still had a good record, though, at home. When they went back, the place is going to be rocking this year. Yeah, you're right. I remember the number. I'm not going to say, hey, Cohen, you got a big number. But you did. I remember it plummeted.
Yeah.
It was plus 250, and then boom. And then suddenly now it's settled in. So I'm seeing plus 175 right now, Jays. Yankees plus 230. Rays plus 240. Boston Red Sox 6-1 and Baltimore 200-1. So I'd like to the guys. Like I said, my opinion is I think, and I don't have a problem playing them both, but I just prefer playing the plus money at plus 175 to win the division. So if they win 90 games and they beat the crap out of each other in the division and to win the division, I still win the bet.
Yeah.
What other win totals have you looked at, Cohen? I know you've broken them down for TSN Edge. What's caught your eye?
Yeah, Seattle's one that's caught my eye. I mentioned them earlier.
I like them.
It's weird because Seattle won 90 games last year, and yet their win total is 83.5 this year, and they got better. They signed Robbie Ray. They brought in other pieces, and the division got worse because Oakland, who was a competitive team last year, is now rebuilding. So that's, you know, Seattle should beat up on, you know, the other team in that division, the only other decent team. Well, Houston's, you know, really good, and the Angels are mediocre, and then you've got, you know,
the Rangers spent some money, they're not going to be great. They're just going to score some runs.
Yeah, they're not.
Now with Seattle, look, like you said, they won 90 games last year. they sign Robbie Ray. So they bring in Robbie Ray, and he's looked good in spring training here. So Robbie Ray is, they bring in Robbie Ray. They bring in the guys from the Reds.
Winker, so
they got Adam Frazier. They got Winker. They got Rodriguez. I'm expecting bigger things from Kelnick.
Yeah.
And they got a phenom that's ready to step up and in as well.
Yeah.
The rotation is a little dicey. I get it, but so pretty much everybody's is, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
The thing is, Cohen, as you mentioned, they won a lot of close games last year.
They did.
And, you know, you notice sometimes teams will, you know, it's like, well, this team always wins one-run games. Yeah, the next year they'll always lose those one-run
games. That's right.
Right? So, but they are better. Their younger players are better.
Yeah.
They have the longest drought not making the playoffs in any pro sport. I think they're a play-on team. I agree with you. I'm playing it as well. I already played it. So what else you got?
Yeah, obviously for them, Seager retired, bit of a loss, but they'll be fine. I like another team. I like the over the Tigers. A little surprised it's only 77.5. Again, same sort of thought process. They went out and spent money. They brought in Javier Baez. They brought in Erod from Boston. So their pitching will be better. I think you know, Scope, Grossman, really good players. I really like A.J. Hinch. I think he got a raw deal in Houston where he was the fall guy. All the players got off scot-free. He's a great manager. He's going to get a lot out of that team. Last year, they were 37-34 in the second half of the year, so they got better. And in the division, again, like, who's in their division? The White Sox are good. The Twins are mediocre. The Indians are rebuilding, and the Royals are rebuilding. So they should—
Guardians.
Yeah, oh, sorry. Yeah, the Guardians. It's going to take me a while to remember the Guardians, not the Indians.
Yeah, I started calling them the Guardians last year to get a head start. People thought I was crazy. As soon as they announced, I was like, as soon as I knew the name, I started calling the Guardians. I said, you'll see. I won't screw up next year. But I hear what you're saying. I actually bet Cleveland under 76.5. Listen, their payroll is $37 million. They've got some good pitchers who might get hurt, who they might trade, who might get hurt. You know they're going to trade Ramirez as the season goes on. They're rebuilding. They don't want to win. They're rebuilding right now. And, you know, if a team is going to spend $37 million, they're not going to only be four games under 500. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're not going to be a good team.
But earlier, Gabe, I feel bad. Their owner's really poor, right? Like, he's eating at McDonald's.
Oh, yeah, I tweeted that out. That's why I tweeted that stuff out. I was talking about the other night, like, about money and stuff. We were talking about Cohen, the owner of the Mets.
Yeah.
And are you related? Because you'd be a good guy to be related to.
If I was related, I wouldn't be living here. I'd be living in right?
You'd be working for the Mets right now. Yeah, you'd be working for the Mets. And like, yeah. Because I was telling people, I don't think people realize how rich he is.
Oh, yeah.
He saw $14 billion.
Yeah.
And he's just one guy, Cohen. So the second richest entity in baseball are actually the Blue Jays.
Yeah, Roger.
They have $8 billion. They're kind of an $8 billion corporation. He's got a hedge fund. He's like the head of it. He's one guy. So, you know, the Mets are going to be a dangerous team moving forward. But you're right. The Dolans, people always blame Dolan in New York, right?
Yeah.
The Knicks and the Rangers. But they're a family. There's a bunch of them. And, like, his brother or something owns James has nothing to do with it, right? So there's another Dolan, but they are related, that owns the Cleveland team. And he's worth $4.5 billion on his own, right?
Unbelievable.
And their payroll. Going, the Dodgers are paying Trevor Bauer $40 million not to pitch.
To go away, yeah.
Oh, I have freaky sex somewhere else, not here.
If only someone would pay me $40 million because I was into freaky sex. I mean, man.
What a gig he got. Right now.
Yeah.
He's getting paid. He made $82 million not to pitch. And, but nevertheless, so we got about a minute left here. What other teams, what other bets did you put in for the futures?
Yeah, I mentioned the Tigers, and I like, you know what, I like Boston over, but the problem is, the pitching is an issue, right, because Sale's hurt now. I thought Sale was going to be healthy. He just got a freak rib injury. So really, Boston, you know, I'll tell you this, Boston's a team, Gabe, until they adjust, I'd be betting every Boston over. That team's going to score 6-7 runs a game, and they're going to give up 5-6 runs a game because they just don't have the pitching. But their lineup is like Toronto's. It's lethal. So Boston will be an over team as far as game totals all the time. There was one other one, an under. I agree with you with Cleveland. I think Oakland under, but the problem is you've lost out on the good number with Oakland now that they're like selling off everybody.
Yeah, it was actually 76, 77 at one point. 71.5 now.
Yeah, you had to get the Oakland number a while ago. It's gone. The value's gone with it. So that's quite a few things, but
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
So.
the Big E, Eric Cohen. Good, great stuff, Cohen. Great catching up with you. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Yeah, you as well, Gabe. Enjoy the baseball season. We're almost there.
The Late Night Anchor Management Class continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
My name's Bobby, and I am an addict.
Hey, Bobby.
Hi, Bobby.
You know, you folks aren't here because you're gamblers. You are here because you are terrible gamblers.
Hey, Bobby.
These folks don't need to stop doing what they're doing. They just need to get better at it.
Oh, yeah. Quickest 180 minutes in Sports Talk Radio continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. The pimps, the pirates, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. We talked about this on Twitter earlier. We got to it on Game Time Decisions. We didn't get to it tonight at all. And it still blows my mind that a World Cup berth is at stake. And basically, it was a Ronnie James Dio concert on Mo Salah's face. All right? You're the last in line. Yeah. You're the last in. You're the last in. Anybody that saw the Last in Line tour knows what I'm talking about. It was a laser fest, all right? And I'm serious. It was like the Electric Light Orchestra was performing on Mo Salah's face in Senegal. And I understand, oh, you're in Senegal. It doesn't mean that they're allowed to do whatever the hell they want to do in the stands. You know what I mean? You're going to have 80,000 people in a stadium. There's a World Cup. I get it. Now, home field counts. I get it. But take care of your business at home in soccer. That's why I don't bet this stuff, man. All right? I'll bet on soccer. Hell, you guys see, I bet on the Nepalese, like, girls under, 17 the league and stuff. I bet on everything. I don't even bet on African nation soccer, international soccer. Number one, it's fixed. All right? And I'm not a big guy that soccer's fixed and stuff and everything's fixed, but they do fix games there. It's fixed. There's always something. There's always a controversy. They don't pay the players, and then, the players aren't trying, or they're getting paid from someone else. There's always something, all right? But look at a couple of weeks ago in the African Cup. They tried to stop the game in the 87th minute. He did stop the game. The ref just said, game's over. Oh, 90. It was like, dude, there's still like 7 minutes left. Right? No. And then it was like Morocco. Oh, no, they already went to the room. They already showered. It's over. I get this that it happens in, like, the African Nations Cup or something. I get it. But when you go to the World Cup in line, there's got to be some sort of decorum here. All right? You know, you flash a laser, one, dude, you got some jackass. Dude, there was literally hundreds of lasers pointing at him at once. Like, it was so much. It looked like he was getting beamed up. It wasn't like it was like, what, it's a new Star Trek movie. It looked like a freaking rave. They looked like a bunch of glow sticks. And you know what? I don't know why he didn't take a step back. I would have said, whoa, hey. Because then I guess he knows it would have made it worse. And in the stadium, who knows, maybe a riot would have started. The official standing there is a jackass, and he should have stepped up and said to the crowd, hey, listen, you got to stop pointing lasers at this guy's face right now before he takes the penalty kick, all right? You've already distracted him enough. And you'll notice he had to close his eyes. Rightfully so, he's going to get blinded. It's like George Costanza with that guy messing with him. Well, you don't want those lasers in your face, Matthias. Put it this way. You were a soccer goal. You want people pointing lasers in your face in the biggest penalty kick of your life? No. And people just accept this. They're like, it's the way it is. It's a bunch of garbage. That's what it is.
It's happened before, but you're right. This has to change, and I think they should be punished. You know, I think it's gotten to the point where they should play games somewhere else. If they can't control the fan atmosphere, if they can't control lasers, you know, at security checkpoints, then those types of matches should not be played in those types of places that can't be controlled. There's just too much on the line, like you said it. And I feel bad. You know, I feel more bad as the day actually went along that we're not going to be able to see Salah in the World Cup. You know, it's actually like it's a pleasure to watch him play. So the fact that we're not going to be able to watch him play, it's actually a loss for the fans.
Well, they should have,
as it is for him, obviously.
They should have handled their business before this, right? Yeah, I get it. It's a lot like the UFC when it's in the old days. The UFC officiating's been better. The judging's been better, actually. Not the officiating, but the judging. But it's one of those deals. Like, if it's close, man, you know, whatever, dude. I should have been better, right? It's sort of like, you guys know, you'll hear, if you notice with me, I don't complain about bad calls that much, right? I don't, because basically there's going to be bad calls in games. Like, last night was a good example with the Raptors. Dude, it was 24-12, the fouls. Literally, it was 24-12 for the Celtics. Like, they were calling phantom calls and stuff on the Raptors, right? And it was frustrating, and the referee definitely had it in for Nick Nurse. But at the same point in time, I didn't bitch about it. People were like, well, what about the refs? I'm like, yeah, whatever. Like, you know what I mean? The Raptors are the ones that are in a tied damn game. That's not the refs' fault, all right? The Celtics playing well. That's why tonight Donovan Mitchell called timeout. Who cares? They're about to lose the game anyways. Like, these little things. That's the whole thing with Chris Webber. With Chris Webber, too. Michigan were losing. Not to mention he traveled earlier. Like, the whole thing was a disaster. Like, you can call timeout, travel, whatever the hell you want to call it. Anyways. But as far as Mo Salah is concerned, this is the World Cup. This isn't, you know what I mean? It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. Like, hey, we made it because we flashed lasers in his face. I don't think they care in Senegal. It is what it is. All is fair in love and war. But to me, it's disgraceful. The officials should have stepped up. Or, honestly, at this point in time, they should have been told, listen, these jackasses are going to fire lasers. He should have busted off, like, some great, like, black glasses. You know what I'm saying? Like, he'd be like, yeah, whatever, guys. And just put on, like, some sort of, like, welder type thing. Put on a welder shield. It would have been awesome. Put on, like, a welder's mask and just go up there and boot it. Boot. But he stood there and he's getting ambushed. I don't know. Like, and then that's another thing. Like, you think you're about to get shot with a bunch of lasers. How do I know it's not, like, a sniper about to take me out? And I'm standing there. I got a million lasers in my face. And you can see he sort of closed his eyes to kind of think it's going to go away. And then he kicked the ball and he drilled it over the net. Thing is, though, with the lasers, it's like he smoked it over the net. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you got to blame the lasers. Like, you don't see a player of his class, like, miss like that. Like, there's a difference between missing and getting a save. And there's another thing between drilling a ball 118 miles an hour over the crossbar. And not only, like, not even close over the crossbar. Like, it was terrible. But, like, you know what I mean? I can't blame the guy. He had lasers in his face. I mean, we don't want to remind Italians about the Baggio kick. Baggio, no. Beckham actually had one of the worst ones ever. And if you recall, Beckham was such a dumbass, he actually blamed his shoe. But the thing is, dude, you were making a ton of money off Adidas at the time. So, I don't know if you remember, Beckham for England, it was a massive kick. And he put it in like the 15th row, bro. Like, he literally, like, shanked it. Like, it was like if you would have punted it in the stands, he could have done a better job. Like, there was no must. Yeah, there was no steam on it. It was like a lob ball. Like, he punted it to the fans. Like, hey, guys, here's a ball at the end of the game. He punted a ball over the net into the stands. And after, he said, oh, my shoe fell apart as I was kicking. It's like, bro, like, they give you, like, 300 pounds a year, 300 million pounds a year, man. Right? And say, blame the shoe. Blame the shoe. Oh, my guitar sucked. That's why my solo sucked. All right, so, that was a disgrace. The only thing that was a bigger disgrace than this, and I can't wait for Mick Ossie's take, this Kyrgios guy is a real piece of work, and he's not the only one. These tennis players are out of control. Listen, you're an effing tennis player. Shut the hell up, all right? Nobody cares about you, Kyrgios. The only reason you're famous is because you sabotaged Jeanika Bouchard's career by spilling water or whatever the hell you did in the locker room. And she wiped out. She was never the same since. You run your mouth all the time. The greatest thing you've ever accomplished is winning a stupid doubles thing that I won money on. Thank you very much. But, man, like, same thing with the other guy. You know, the other German guy. The German guy, like, smacking his... Yeah, I don't care what his name is. Smacking his club near the umpire. You got some other Russian guy the other day threatening to sue an umpire. He's like, I'll sue you for $10 million. You're costing my career. It's like, dude, like, you're a nobody tennis player, all right? Like, go and win 6 titles or something and then bitch, all right? Like, that's the whole thing. These guys bitch and whine, and it never stops. The men's, I've never seen this in my life, that the men's tennis tour are just a bunch of biggest tool bags, like, in any sport. You make golfers seem like Iron Man athletes. You seem like golfers are like UFC guys next to you. Like, you're the biggest prima donna whining, just shut the hell up. Like, it's beyond pathetic. Like, you know, the women just grind through, and they pick on Osaka all the time. All these men, they don't say anything about the men. Like, it's so sexist, tennis, in the media. Like, seriously, the men are pulling stunts every day now. Every day, Shapovalov there, yelling, you know what I mean? Yelling at the ump because he's choking and stuff. Yeah, it's the ump's fault, right? Like, you know, whatever, man. John McEnroe had a, you can't be serious. That's not like trying to smack him with a racket, right? Yeah, dude, Djokovic smacked a tennis ball and hit a kid in the throat before, right? Oh, he got all mad, smoked the ball. I don't know if you saw the Andy Roddick video. It was great stuff. Did a video. He's funny on Twitter. Andy Roddick said, hey, listen. He said, all you tennis players out there, all you male tennis players, he said, you got to learn something. And he goes, trust me. I used to get mad. And he showed him how to throw a racket. It was a great video. He's in his driveway. And he goes, this is how you throw a racket. And he throws the racket straight down in anger. And he goes, you don't throw it like this. And he whips it. Dude, he's like a mercenary. Andy Roddick threw a tennis racket through the air, man, like an Olympic archer into a tree. Bam! Like, he threw it like an axe. Like, he whipped it, and he goes, you don't whip your club because someone can get hurt. And then he goes, don't be like Djokovic and hit a ball boy in the throat with a tennis ball because, he goes, it'll hurt. Right? And he goes, if you're going to hit the ball, you hit it straight up in the air in anger. And then he goes, you don't do this. And then he whacks the ball. And he did it casually, man. Like, he didn't even try to smoke it. Like, he was like, don't do this. And he hit the ball hard, smoked it right into the tree from, like, far away. I was like, I don't know if it, you know, maybe it took him a few takes to pull it off. I doubt it. Right? I think he probably did it on one take. Like, but he threw the racket into the tree, and then he smoked the tennis ball. But you see, like, you think, oh, it's a tennis ball. Dude, Andy Roddick smokes a tennis ball at your face, like, from 40 feet away. You're in a lot of trouble, bro. Right? And if it hits you in the Adam's apple and stuff, you're in even worse trouble. So all you tennis players, John McEnroe's biggest stunt was you can't be serious. You know what I mean? Like, guys used to hit the net with their, you know what I mean? Like, nowadays, you guys are nut jobs. And the thing is, like, you're nobodies. You're a bunch of nobodies. Oh, but I'm the number 3 player in the world. Yeah, because nobody's ever heard of you. Nobody cares. You ain't Roger Federer. You ain't Pete Sampras. You're not Bjorn Borg. You're not Ivan Lendl. Come on, man. You're not Andre Agassi. Who are you? And the other guy, the best guy of them all, is a nut job anti-vaxxer loser that forges papers to try to cheat to get into countries. Bunch of psychopaths. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Can't wait for this World Cup draw. This should be not corrupt at all. Man, we think the NCAA bracket's whacked. I'd like to know how they come up with this. I'd like to know, like, really, like, the World Cup. Like, that's some heavy, heavy, heavy hitters jockeying going on right there, man. Man, think about the money, like, and just the craziness. Like, I could make a movie alone on it right now. Like, because, you know, honestly, I saw an interview with, like, the biggest match fixer ever. And guy out of Singapore, part of that cartel. He did a few random interviews and stuff after. He's supposedly out of the business now, so he did a few. He was on like a 60 Minutes India or something like that, I saw. And he basically said, he goes, you people are dumb. He goes, people think that, you know, we're paying players off and stuff. He goes, that's impossible. He goes, that's just in the movies. He's like, he goes, you can do that. But he goes, the player will get caught. He goes, then we'll get caught. He goes, what good is that? Right? So he basically said, he goes, the real power is running the federations and making the decisions. We were more interested. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, he goes, we could have effect on the draws of tournaments and who plays who. About who plays who and about who makes the national teams and about playing time and stuff. And they were then shocked. They were like, you decided in some countries, like, who was on the national team? He's like, yeah. And they basically said, we paid off the head of the federations. If you let's add up the countries. They weren't paying off the head of Argentina. They weren't paying off the head of Canada. Like, you know what I mean? Who do you think they were paying off? Just saying. It's fascinating. We got to get that guy on again. Hey, I'm that guy from the thing. Other than that, you're on your own later.